Lloyd Carl Rousey. Lloyd was the seventh of nine children born to William Riley Rousey and Lucinda Bell Miller. Lloyd was born at the Rousey home place on Carpenters Creek, Boyle County, Kentucky. Lloyd was taken out of school in the third grade to work on the farm and was never sent back to school. By the time he was 18, Lloyd and brothers Stanton, Marion, and Horace had started a minstrel show. They performed at schools, churches, and other local events. In 1922, Tina Janetta Rich from Liberty in Casey County was hired as a school teacher for the one-room school, grades 1 through 8, in Butchertown. Tina lived with the George Smith family next door to the school. She put on a lot of events at the school for the parents and community. Tina was told of a group of Rousey brothers that had a minstrel show they put on at events, so she invited them to put on a show at the school. This is where Lloyd and Tina met and started dating. Tina taught school the 1922-23 and 1923-24 school year at Butchertown. Tina and Lloyd were married on March 5, 1924 in Parksville, Boyle County, Kentucky, by the Reverend J.W. Edwards, called the marrying preacher. Tina was 19 and Lloyd was 20. Both had to have permission to marry. Lloyd's sister, Ethel Rousey Sutherland at that time, wrote the permission note for Tina and signed Tina's parents' names, Mr. C. Rich and Mrs. Maud Rich, then signed as witnesses Mrs. Ethel Cutter, Mr. O.B. Cox, Frank Crane, and R. Rousey. Ethel wrote Lloyd's note and signed his parents' names, W.R. Rousey and Bell Rousey, then signed for Mrs. Grace Cox, her sister, Frank Crane, and R. Rousey. After their marriage, they lived in a small house close to the Rousey home place for a while. In late 1924, they moved to Junction City, Kentucky, about 6 miles away, where Lloyd worked as a night watchman for a wholesale company. While living there, the first two children were born. Both times, Tina went to her parents in Liberty to have the children. In late 1926, they moved to Marengo, Illinois, where Lloyd's oldest brother, James Delbert, lived. While in Marengo, Lloyd worked on the railroad. In late 1927, they moved to Wapella, Illinois, where his Uncle Jim lived. There, Lloyd worked as a night watchman and in the cornfields. Still in Wapella in 1928, Tina was with their third child. Tina and the children, Margaret and Robert, took the train to Junction City, Kentucky, then on to her parents in Liberty, where Philip Rich Rousey was born, October 1, 1928. Lloyd moved back to Butchertown soon after Philip was born and rented a house in Ellis Hollow behind the Butchertown Cemetery. Lloyd continued to go to Illinois during corn picking season and work the cornfields. He would take the trains to Illinois, buy a car, and drive back to Kentucky. In January 1930, they moved across the creek from the cemetery on the Butchertown Road just below the schoolhouse. There, the fourth, fifth, and sixth children were born. Nina, February 28, 1930, Shirley, February 5, 1932, and Anita, September 10, 1933. In 1933, Lloyd purchased 2 acres from Bessie and Charlie Wilcher, Deed Book 52, page 268. In 1935, they purchased 2 acres at the head of Butchertown from Zeldin Cooley, where the seventh child, Patrick Allen Rousey, was born on November 19, 1935, in what they called the Raggedy House. While they were living in that house, they bought the first radio in Butchertown. The house was full every night with people listening to the radio. In 1937, they purchased Delbert Wilson's 76 acres across the road, where their 8th, 9th, and 10th children were born. Buddy Glenn, March 5, 1937, Lloyd Sherwood, May 29, 1941, and Palmer Lee, May 6, 1943. During these years, Lloyd and Tina purchased, in 1938, 25 acres from W.C. Carter, Book 54, page 394, for $400. In 1942, land from M.L. Frost at the headwaters of Papaw Creek, Book 56, page 342 and 47 acres and 47 acres from Susan Sorrell, book 55, page 434. They lived in Butchertown from 1928 until 1944. While living in Butchertown, the family went to the Baptist church where Tina played the piano. Church was held on Sunday afternoon. The children went to the one-room school, grades 1 through 8. Two of the school teachers, Lucille Carter and Helen Downey, lived with Lloyd and Tina's family during the school year. After completing the 8th grade, the first three children, Margaret, Robert, and Philip, went to Liberty to high school and lived with Tina's parents, Maud and Hayes Rich. During the years at Butchertown, Lloyd did a lot of hunting and trapping for food and fur. He farmed and worked in timber. The house was across a creek, and a footbridge made of tree trunks with boards nailed on them was used to get to the house. Until they moved to Moreland in 1944, none of the houses had water, electric, or bathrooms. They used an outhouse for a toilet, water from wells, light from kerosene lamps, heat, cooking, and canning all done on a wood-burning stove. That made woodcutting a year-round job. Lloyd and Tina had a lot of Lloyd's family living in Illinois visiting in the summers. Brothers Raymond, Horace, Marion, and Delbert, and cousins, Irvine, Shine Rousey, and his sister Ann Rousey Slayback, were among the many overnight visitors. At times, all beds were full, and the floor would be full. Everyone was welcome. Tina's family never visited her when she was living in Butchertown. While they lived there, Anita stayed in the house working. The rest of the family worked in the fields, plowing, hoeing the tobacco and corn, taking care of the garden, milking, feeding the stock, fixing fences, clearing land, cutting, raking, and stacking hay. At canning time, everyone was busy picking vegetables for Tina to can on the wood stove. They sliced apples to dry on the roof. They had no refrigerator, so everything was dried, canned, salt cured, or stored in the cellar underground. At hog killing time, always at Thanksgiving, the hams, shoulders, and sides for bacon were salt cured. The liver was eaten that day. Tenderloin was canned, and the head and feet were put in souse, and the rest of the meat was ground for sausage and canned. The fat and skin were cooked in a large kettle outside until all the grease, lard, was rendered out and used for cooking later. Everyone worked as soon as they were big enough to do anything. Went to work early, had lunch, rested for a while, then worked late. At school time, the children went to work in the fields as soon as they got home and changed their clothes. Worked 6 days and Sunday morning. Went to church Sunday afternoon, and then it was playtime. With all the work, there was still time for Lloyd and Tina to play with the children, and as usual, there were cuts and bruises and tears from falling off the bluff, falling off the footbridge, being pushed off the footbridge, falling off the car running board, axe cut between the toes while cutting wood, fingers under the cross-cut saw while sawing wood, thrown off horses in the briar patch, kicked in the face by a horse, and stepping on nails. Lloyd purchased a farm from Fred Maddox on Black Pike in Moreland in 1944, where the 11th and last child, Ronald Wayne, was born in March 1947. Lloyd purchased another farm joining his from the George King Pruitt family, a tract of land from the Bakers, a tract from Vernon Taylor, and purchased a grocery, country grocery store across from the Moreland School. Tina and some of the older children ran the store. Lloyd took a truck with his son Patrick Allen, loaded with food from the store, went from farm to farm through the Forkland, Butchertown, Little South, Big South, and most side roads, selling food from the back of the truck. Sold lots of tobacco products, chewing tobacco, sugar, salt, flour, cornmeal, pinto beans, spices, and fresh fruits. Ran the route weekly, and the ladies would be waiting with their grocery list. Lloyd also hauled coal from eastern Kentucky, melons from Georgia, and fruit from Tampa, Florida. Lloyd also had purchased the Rousey home place on Carpenter's Creek. He farmed the three farms, raising tobacco, corn, hay, pumpkins, cucumbers, hogs, cattle, sold milk, cream, and did many other things to make money. Lloyd's father, William Riley, lived with him when they moved to Moreland until the summer of 1951, when he rented a small three-room house in Shelby City. William Riley's daughter, Ethel Rousey Sutherland Cutter Hankins, stayed with him until he died in March 28, 1953. In 1954, Lloyd's brother Marion, 47, had cancer and was getting to the point he could not take care of himself. Lived in Normal, Illinois. Lloyd brought Marion and one of his young daughters to his home in Moreland. Lloyd's family took care of Marion until he died on April 2, 1955. Lloyd made and paid for the funeral arrangements. Lloyd got his cemetery plot by his father and mother in the Butchertown, Kentucky cemetery. Lloyd was appointed as administrator of Marion's estate on August 22, 1955, Book 19, page 151, Lincoln County, Kentucky Courthouse. This was written by Patrick Allen Rousey. Oh, okay. Things to remember. I remember growing up with no electricity, running water, or indoor bathroom. We used kerosene lamps, water from a well, and an outhouse. We didn't have Kleenex, paper towels, or toilet paper. We used old catalogs. We didn't have a refrigerator, toaster, microwave, TV, grill, electric can opener, crock pot, electric coffee maker, or iron. We used heavy flat irons that had to be heated on the wood stove. We grew most of our food. Once a month, we went by horse and buggy to a country store. We bought pinto beans in 100-pound sacks. We stored our food in an underground cellar. Our potatoes, onions, and apples were stored in a deep hole in our barn in large boxes covered with hay. In the summer, we canned food in glass ball jars on a wood stove. Dried apples on the roof to preserve them for apple pies later in the year. We picked wild greens, gathered eggs daily, churned butter in a wood churn, and molded it in a wood mold. We didn't have soft drinks. Made sassafras tea from dried roots of the sassafras tree. Sandwich meats or store-bought canned foods. The cows were milked by hand twice a day, separating the cream from the milk to sell. We made snow cream and ice cream in the winter in hand-cranked ice cream freezers, cutting the ice from ponds. We had no ice in the summer. Clothes were washed in a wash tub using a hand-cranked wringer and hung on a clothesline outside, summer and winter. Water was heated on a wood stove for washing, bathing, dishes, and cleaning. Wood was cut for the stove winter and summer. It was very cold going to the outhouse in the winter. Feather beds were slept in, and some mornings it was so cold there was frost on the inside of the windows. We had to walk to a one-room schoolhouse for grades 1 through 8. During World War II, everything was rationed. You had to have stamps to buy almost anything. The government sent out stamp books and a list of point values. One book was for gasoline, tires, etc., a red book for meat, a blue book for processed foods, and the blue book covered all canned, bottled, dried, and frozen fruits, vegetables, juices, and canned fruits. All items had a point value. A 7-ounce can of corn cost 4 points, a can of peas 5 points, 4 ounces can of applesauce 1 point. Each family member was assigned points. For example, on books sent out on Monday, February 22, 1943, each family member of any age received 48 points per person. A family of 10 received 480 points. We worked in the fields with horses and horse-drawn plows, discs, mowers, rakes, and wagons. We planted corn with a hand planter, hoed and cut it by hand, tied it in stacks, and later would break down the stacks and shuck the corn to put in corn cribs to feed the animals all winter. Tobacco was planted with wood pegs, hoed, wormed, topped, suckered, and then cut all by hand. After it dried, it was hand-stripped and hauled to the warehouse to be sold. We had aunts, uncles, and cousins visit and stay overnight every summer. The preacher would always come for Sunday dinner of country ham and fried chicken. The teacher would live with us during the school year. Our main entertainment was listening to the old battery-operated RCA at noon and every night. Programs in the 1930s were Amos and Andy, Lum and Abner, Fibber McGee and Molly, Our Gal Sunday, The Squeaking Door, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, the Lone Ranger, Little Orphan Annie, Ma Perkins, Arthur Godfrey, Tom Mix, Sherlock Holmes, The Guiding Light, Renfro Valley, Captain Midnight, Perry Mason, Lowell Thomas, Grand Old Opera, and Will Rogers. We used to swing on grapevines, play softball and volleyball with the whole family on Sundays, and cards on Friday night. There were rousing reunions from 1922 to the present, 2009.